you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, oh Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and have a seat tonight. Let's just stay in an attitude of worship. As Miss Carol plays. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, chances are tonight you've come in here with some sort of affliction, if you will, from the enemy. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world of conflict. We live in a world that's been tainted by sin. And ultimately, sin is evil. And we go through this process of life trying to stay right before the Lord. And oftentimes, the enemy tries to get a foothold. I'll never forget when I was a kid, and I used to chase my brother around the house, or he used to chase me around the house. And if one of us could get into a room and slam the door shut, it would prevent the other one of us from entering in. And I got real smart, because when my brother would run into the room and attempt to slam the door, I'd just stick my foot right where it was going to slam shut, and it would pop back open, and I'd go in there and just hang him by his toenails, you know. And there's a scripture that says, don't let the devil get a foothold. And that's as simple as it is. We're going along in our life, and we're doing what we know to do, and the next thing you know, he sticks his foot right there in the door, and it pops open, and he just begins to terrorize our lives and bring things into our lives that are not of God. And the good news is that Jesus came to set the captives free. And I'm here to tell you that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt. There was a woman, she was a Samaritan woman, actually she was a Syrophoenician woman. She had a daughter that was demon-possessed, and the daughter was obviously had erotic behavior and was acting just not normal. She came to Jesus, and she began to beg him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus is very rude. He says to her, I'm not going to give the children's bread to the dogs. And the reason why he said that wasn't because he was trying to be a mean preacher. It was because she was a Gentile, and Jesus came to set the Jewish captives free at that time, and the Gentiles would come in and be engrafted into this covenant at a later date. Well, she insists, rather than getting offended with Jesus, who just called her a dog, she says, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. I mean, what a phenomenal response. Amen. And what she was saying is, even though I'm not a Jew, I can still get the residue off of what was meant for the children. The children are those that are in covenant. And Jesus said, I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And he was talking in the context of deliverance, of this little girl being delivered from demons. And what Jesus did when he said that was that the children's bread is deliverance. That's what he said, was saying in a nutshell. And so let me just say this. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're a child. Isn't that right? You've come into covenant with God. So you're a step above where this woman was at. And Jesus said, I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. In other words, I'm not going to take what was meant for the children and give it to the dogs that are not in covenant with me. And what I want to say here is that deliverance is the children's bread. A lot of people think that just because they're a Christian, they can't have a demon. Au contraire, sinners and saints devils and saints sit on the same pew a lot of times. And there's people that are Christians that are still being affected by demonic things. And that's not a bad thing, because it's the children's bread for you to be delivered. Does that make sense? You know, a lot of people get embarrassed when we talk about demons and things, and yet most people are tormented by demons. They're tormented by demonic activity. You've seen the rise in television of the paranormal and ghosts and goblins and all that stuff. All that stuff is really not real. I mean, people do talk to dead people, but they're not talking to your dead aunt Jemima. They're talking to a familiar spirit that's familiar with your life. And demons are posing as dead relatives. Don't get all messed up in that stuff. That's called witchcraft. And witchcraft is control. And what happens is when you avail yourself to that, then a demon spirit will couple with your faith in them, and they will start to control you, and you'll think it's your dead sister or whatever. You know, I was called up into my office. Let me just say this. I was preaching to the youth one night. There was this girl. She's a very attractive girl, very well put together. Just as far as her life, it seemed like she had everything going on. And she was very kind, gymnastics type gal. And she was just sitting there as I was preaching. And all of a sudden, she just starts scratching her neck like this and twitching. And I'm like, what is going on here? And the more I preached, the more she would just scratch her neck. It was just beet red from her scratching it at the end of the service. And she comes up to me and she says, "Pastor Tim, I think I need deliverance." And I said, "From what?" She said, "A demon." And so I took her into my office along with others. I don't just take girls into my office. We all went in there, some of us that I trusted. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out." And as soon as I said that, she fell on the floor and she began to slither around like a snake and was bending in positions. I don't even know how that's possible. And I was just like, you know, when you see that stuff, you go, okay, this is real. I guess the Bible is right, you know. And there's no putting on here. See, there's demons in America. They're just more sophisticated than they are in Africa. And I started to call out stuff, and this girl, literally, she's 18 years old, 17 years old, she looked at me and spoke to me in a man's voice. "What are you doing here?" I'm like, okay. And I just started binding and loosening and doing everything I needed to do, and I was really unfamiliar with deliverance at that point. Come to find out later on, we through a series of events, I had my pastor come in with me and his wife, and they were praying over this same girl at a later date, and she started doing the same exact thing she was doing with me, and all of a sudden, Miss Evelyn, she's very gifted in the gift of discernment, and she said, "Gary, it's a spirit of death." And so Pastor Gary, who's my pastor and spiritual father, he stood up and he said, "In the name of Jesus, you nasty spirit of death, I command you to loose her and let her go." And she let out a scream like you'd never heard, and she just laid there like she was dead for a while. And that's all biblical, by the way. That's all biblical, by the way. And finally, we got her up, and I asked her later, I said, "What's up? How'd that happen?" Because, you know, demons just can't come and do all kinds of arbitrary things. She said that her sister died in a car wreck, and just before her sister passed on, she laid on her sister, hand to hand, foot to foot, mouth to mouth, basically. And she said, "I felt this warm sensation come into my body, and I thought it was my sister's talents and her abilities. No, that was a spirit of death that entered into her. And we had to cast that thing out." And she was a Christian. She's a Christian. We've had several Christians delivered here, right here in this building, from demons. As a matter of fact, Miss Lori, who I think was that was the catalyst of things just breaking loose here, that was demonic too, wasn't it, Lori? She was facing demonic things, and I mean, it was just let loose. See, I want to read a scripture to you And the reason why I'm having Miss Carol continue to play is because remember when Saul was suffering from an evil spirit and David would play the harp and they would leave? Demons hate praise unto God. They can't stand it. And that's why I love it. I'm not trying to set the mood when I have Miss Carol come up here. When Miss Carol comes up and she starts playing, demons get real fidgety. And that's how you can tell and separate between somebody who's tormented and somebody who's just not listening. Somebody who's not just investing the time. See, listen, we crucify the flesh, we cast out demons. We don't do the opposite. There's a lot of people trying to crucify demons and cast out the flesh. It doesn't work that way. If there's an area in your life that will not submit to Christian discipline, then it's probably demonic. You've been trying to overcome it and trying to overcome it. You've been reading, you've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been doing everything the Bible tells you to do, and you still can't whip it. It's probably demonic, and it needs to be driven out. There was a woman, I'm just going to tell you the story. It's in Luke 18, I believe. There's a woman who was bent over for 18 years. Y'all remember her? 18 years she was bent over like this. Jesus walks into the church on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees, they could care less whether this woman's delivered or not. They just want to continue to have church, and let's not upset the apple cart. And I want to say this with absolute bluntness. I feel like we're in the same scenario in this day and age. So many churches want to gloss everything over, not deal with people's problems. As long as you come and fill one of my chairs, I'm happy with you. You stay happy with me. And that's not the way this works. It's not the way this works. And they didn't care whether she was delivered or not as long as she was there filling one of her pews. We need to quit living in the book of Numbers and start living in the book of Acts, people. Amen? This whole Numbers thing, nobody would have ever invited Jesus to a church growth contest, conference, because he had 12. They just said, up and down the sides of his church and said, sorry, you're not adequate to teach us how to grow our church. But when it came to deliverance, and so this woman standing there, the Pharisees could care less whether she's delivered or not. But she's standing there bent over. I imagine she was probably just like this. Hadn't seen anything but her shoes all morning long. And Jesus stands up, and it's the Sabbath. And he stands up and he goes, what's up? Is it right to heal on the Sabbath or not? And the Bible says they say nothing. And he gets indignant. And that's just like coward religious folk to just sit there. He goes up to the woman, grabs her, puts his hand on her back and says, listen here. Come up here, Calandria, if you would. I'm going to use you as an example. Can you act bent over? All right, just like that. Star actor. I can imagine Jesus going just like this and saying, listen here, doesn't this daughter of Abraham who has a spirit of infirmity? See, not all sickness is just sickness. Sometimes it's spirit of infirmity. Doesn't she have a right to be healed whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years? Who bound her, God or Satan? Satan bound her. And Jesus, you know he did it. The Bible tells us he did. He said to the woman, be thou loosed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bet she stood straight up. That spirit left her. Who knows what happened, whether she screamed, whether she did a lap or whatever. But she was completely free. Why? Because she's an heir according to the promise. Because Jesus said she's a daughter of Abraham. And that means she's an heir according to the promise. She's a daughter of God, and she has every right to be delivered. Thank you, ma'am. Good job. Awesome. Are you hearing me? I just want to read a couple scriptures, and let's just keep this atmosphere here tonight. I want you to turn to Luke 4. Luke 4. Miss Carol, if you don't mind just continuing to play. She's got an anointing to do that. Luke 4. I love the day of Pentecost when Peter jumps up because he preaches his famous sermon. He says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Y'all remember that. And he's quoting that from the prophet Joel, who wrote that about 800 years before that. But Peter stops before the end of the quote. He says everything that Joel says, but he stops. You can look it up tonight. It's in Acts chapter 2, and then it's also in Joel chapter 3. And he stops right before the end. And I've always, like, Peter, what'd you stop for? Why'd you throw on the Jake break here? Because if Peter would have uttered that last part, it would have been for the wrong time. How many of you know that the Bible says in the last days, the devil's going to get all anxious and start throwing as much as he can at us because he knows his time is short? And I've seen more people dealing with demonic issues than I've ever seen in the history of our ministry. And you know what Jesus said about that? When I start driving out demons by the finger, you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. So if you start seeing demons come out of people, then guess what? You know that the kingdom of God is manifest right here on the earth. And I'll tell you what. Here's what Peter failed to quote. He failed to quote this. There will be deliverance in Zion. Why didn't you quote that, Peter? Because I believe it was not for his day, but for our day. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there shall be deliverance in Zion. Amen. The church is going to get free from the devil. The church is going to get free from the power of the devil. Just like that woman. Doesn't this woman deserve to be set free? Why did she deserve it? Not because of anything she did, but because she was a daughter of Abraham, who was in covenant with the seed of Abraham, who was Jesus Christ, who gave her a right to be free from anything that the devil threw at her. And that's why Jesus said, be thou healed. And instantly she was healed, because Satan was the one keeping her bound. If you think it's God who binds you, then you are badly mistaken, because God never puts anything on you that's not of him. God doesn't put cancer on you. God doesn't do any of that to you. Don't ever believe that. God doesn't ever do any of that to you. He's a father. He's a good father, and he would never do that to you. I don't know why it happened. I don't know why some people die from that stuff. I don't know why it comes on, but we live in an atmosphere of conflict. We live in a world of sin. It's been tainted, and things just happen. But the answer is not the devil. It's God. And we need to run to God. If you think God gives you cancer or any other sickness, you're never going to run to him when you're in a jam. God's not up there with a black bag putting bad stuff on people. Are you hearing me? And you know what's even, you know what bothers me about the churches that preach that God does put sickness on people to teach them something? They never seem to learn the lesson that they were supposed to learn when they got sick, because they go right to the doctor to get healed. What are you going to the doctor for to get healed if you think God put sickness on you to teach you something? You better learn whatever it is he's trying to teach you. And then they go build a hospital for people to get healed. Well, if it's God's will for you to be sick, don't dare build a hospital. Build a funeral home. The irony. Some people got baptized with a spirit of stupid. I don't understand it. Here's Jesus' ministry. If you go with me to the 18th verse. Let's read in the 14th. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. This was after he had been tempted, after he'd been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread everywhere through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, or we could say church, as was his custom. Guess what, everybody? Jesus went to church. That was his custom. He didn't skip out on church and say, I got kingdom work to do. He went to church. That was his custom. It ought to be ours as well. But when he shows up at church, he stands up to read. Now, in that day, they used to have scrolls. They didn't have iPads. And they had big, long scrolls that they would read the Torah. And they would read the, the prophets. And they would have somebody stand up, kind of like some churches do when they sing a hymn or something like that. They have somebody stand up and they find page 127, and we're going to sing this together, and everybody would agree. Well, Jesus stands up to read. And what's interesting is he goes to the prophet Isaiah, and he finds the place. He must have not only went to church, but read his Bible too. Because how would he know where to look if he didn't read it before? So we got two things we need to do: go to church and read our Bibles. But he finds where it's written. And this is what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Why? Because he has anointed me. To what? To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. You think he had a jail ministry and he was going to tell them all that they could be free? We're talking spiritual stuff. And bring recovery of the sight to the blind. To release the oppressed. God never oppresses, he impresses. Who's the one doing the oppressing? The devil. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then I love this. Then he rolled the scroll back up, gave it back to the pastor, and sat down. It's interesting he didn't leave the scroll wide open and try and give it. He rolls it back up. Or in today's age, let me show you what this would have looked like. In today's age, Jesus would have stood up today, and he'd have grabbed a Bible, he'd have opened up to Isaiah 61, that's where he found that, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted and release the captives, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And everybody was doing exactly what you're doing. They're still like, "Finish the story." And you know what he says? "Oh yeah, and by the way, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What did he say? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Why am I able to do this? Why am I able to deliver people and open blind eyes and raise the dead and heal the sick? Why? "Because the Spirit of the Lord is and has anointed me to do that." Look at another scripture real quick in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This happens to be one of my favorite all-time scriptures. And because of that, I want to read it out of the King James, because I love the way it poetically states it. Are you hearing me? Let's read what it says here in the 38th verse. "How God anointed" who? "Jesus of Nazareth" with what? "The Holy Spirit and power. And as a result of that, he went around doing good, healing all." You know that word in the Greek means all? "All those oppressed of..." Come on, who? Who's doing the oppressing and the depressing? The devil? The devil! "For God was with him." Whoa. You know, one day I was reading this scripture, and I thought, wait a second. Isn't Jesus' name Jesus Christ? So I went through that scripture again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devils because God was with him. And I thought, well, how come it doesn't say how God anointed Jesus Christ? Because Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a description of this. Here's what the word Christ means: the anointed one. The one who was anointed. See, I was just in Florida. And in Florida, the sun's hot. So was my wife. And I'd say to her, babe, would you lather me up? No, we'd lather each other. Now, it used to be this. Now it's... But when you used to take that lotion and you started rubbing it all over, that word anointed means to rub on or smear on. So let's read it like that. How God rubbed on or smeared on Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and power. And as a result of having the Holy Ghost rubbed on and smeared on him, he went around doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Awesome. But here's what hit me. It didn't say how God anointed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one, because he was anointed. So after that event, he became Jesus Christ. Before that event, he was Jesus of Nazareth. Tonight, you might just be Jeff from rural Tolna. Or Bo from Rapid City. Or Tyson from Africa. But listen. How God anointed just podunk old Tim Stewen, who used to ride bulls from Rapid City, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Because there's a reason why I call myself a Christian. And when I say Christian, I don't say Christian because I don't serve Chris. If you notice, the word Christ is in the word Christian because it means, when you add I-A-N-S to something, it means follower. And so, basically, when I say I'm a Christian, I'm saying I'm an anointed follower of the anointed one. The same anointing that's on him is the same anointing that's on me. And I could just put myself in the scripture, how God anointed Tim Stewen from Rapid City with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God is with me. And I need to realize that. I could stand up here today, you could stand up here today and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, bring recovery of sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted, release the captives, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord, praise God. Every one of us could say that. It's whether or not you believe it. And we could close the book and hand it back to the minister and say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because listen to this, the word salvation doesn't mean go to heaven. The word salvation means deliverance. The primary word for salvation is deliverance. And guess what? Today is the day of salvation. Tonight, right here tonight, is the day of deliverance. Remember Mary? Mary Magdalene? You know what the Bible says about her? A woman in whom 7 demons came out. How would you like to be introduced as that? Calandria? Can you imagine? I bring Calandria up and I say, everybody, here's Calandria from Utah, a woman in whom 7 demons came out. Wouldn't you be a little embarrassed? And kind of like, oh, geez, don't say that. They're going to think I'm going to go back there and get a brownie and go, you know, but she was proud of it. You know why? Because she overcame him by the word of her testimony. That was her testimony. I had 7 demons in me, but they came out, praise God, because of Jesus. And I'm free. You know, the word spirit means breath. So if you have bad breath, you have an evil spirit. Some of y'all need the devil cast out of you in the mornings. But she was proud of that. I'm Mary in whom seven demons came out. You know what? There's no difference in saying seven demons came out of me than there is saying I was healed of cancer. No difference. That's an awesome testimony of the deliverance of Jesus Christ. And guess how we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. Why would you be embarrassed to share what Jesus has done for you? And I'm here to tell you, we're sitting around people, Christians, who need the children's bread, but they're too embarrassed to take it, so they live in bondage every single day. When Jesus' ministry was to set the captives free, and yet they go on, church service after church service, living in captivity, when the devil should have been cast out of them, and they could testify, I'm a person in whom seven demons came out, and I'm free! I'm free! Jesus said this, freely you have received, freely give. Listen, you can't give away what you don't have. If you're in bondage tonight, you can't give away freedom to people. Stop going to your job saying, oh, I'm going to tell them about Jesus and they're going to get healed when you haven't received it yourself. God wants to deliver his people. There shall be deliverance in Zion. Deliverance is a huge part of the gospel, and I'm going to finish with this in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out 72. Y'all remember that story? How many would you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know what a disciple is? Just a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to be a churchgoer. It's another thing to be a disciple. Somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian because I go to church. That's like saying you're a cow because you stood in a barn. The building doesn't make you anything. Jesus makes you everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. So if I'm a disciple, I'm a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. That means he has the right to rebuke me, encourage me, correct me, train me, shape me, mold me. I'm all his. And I'll tell you what, God loves to take care of his own. Look what he says. Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. When Jesus called them together, he gave them power and authority to what? Drive out demons and to cure diseases. Isn't that interesting? That's the first thing he tells them to go do. He doesn't tell them to go feed some orphans. He doesn't tell them to go pay their tithes at the synagogue. He doesn't tell them to show up early for the Christmas program. The first thing he does is gather them together and say, you've been with me now for quite some time, and I want you to go out and start driving out demons out of people and healing every sickness that you can get your hands on. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That sounds like a whole different ministry than what a lot of churches are preaching. And the Bible says they came back. Let's find it where they came back. Actually, let's look here at Luke chapter, what are we in? Luke chapter 9, the 37th verse, and then Eli, find that for me with the when they came back. Look what it says here in the 37th verse. The next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. And this is right after the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw the kingdom of God. They saw Jesus transformed right before their eyes. And a man in the crowd called out, Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he's only a child. Verse 39, a spirit seized him and suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is it's destroying him. Now, can you imagine what that looked like? I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. And here's what Jesus says. Well, we don't do that except for on Mondays and Wednesdays. You know what the Bible says? He actually sighs. Jesus goes, oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation. How long do I have to stand here and put up with you? I mean, can you? If I was his disciple, I'd be like, jerk, I'm trying the best I can. Right? And Jesus is like, how long do I got to put up with you guys? You should have had this mastered by now. You're still riding your bike with training wheels? Driving out demons is a cinch. Whatever. So he calls the dad over, and look what he says. Even while the boy was coming, Jesus said, bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him onto the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and the boy and healed the boy and gave him back to his father, and all were amazed at the greatness of God. That's in your Bible. That's not some fictitious event. That's a real event. Isn't it interesting Jesus didn't go, oh God, if it be your will, heal this poor boy. Ooh, I don't like foam. Oh. He's starting to growl now. Peter, come protect me. I was at a church one time, and I was praying with people, and this gal just hit the floor. I mean, it sounded like her head hit a bowling ball on the floor, just boom, 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 like that. And the pastor wanted to call 911. Because he was scared. I'm like, don't you read your Bible? Every time a demon comes out of most people, they fall down like they're dead, or they scream, or they make some obnoxious noise. And Jesus didn't get all worried about that. He just says, here's what Jesus does with the devil. Shut up, come out, be quiet. Like somebody said, you can get their name and their number. What's your name? Legion. How many are you? Legion. Shut up, come out, see you later. Jesus didn't spend a whole bunch of time with the devil. Why? Because he knew his authority. He knew he was anointed to set the captives free. Now watch what happens when the 72 come back. Did you find it? Oh, Luke 10:17. Look at this. Jesus sent 72 out, and he gave them the same message. Go out, drive out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Why am I preaching this to you tonight? Because you should be doing this. If this is all new to you and you're going, man, this is freaking me out. Read your Bible. You need to come, find out who you are, get water baptized, filled with the Spirit, and go out and start doing the works that Jesus did, because you are a part of the body of, oh, the one that was rubbed on and smeared on. You're a part of that body. You're the body of the rubbed on and smeared on ones with the Holy Ghost. That's what you're a part of. I'm serious. Look what it says. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I love that. That's how quick, that's how much God tolerated Satan's rebellion. Bam! 183,000 miles a second. Bam! To the earth. You're out of here, Kentucky Fried Devil right there. Bam! Just gone. That's how much God tolerates rebellion. But look what he says. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Why are snakes and scorpions a threat? Because they bite and they sting. And you know, we go through our everyday life and we got scorpions and snakes. We're walking through a Christian landmine. I'm telling you, when you say, I want to follow God, every devil in hell now is on your trail. You know, the devil doesn't send people out to follow murderers and rapists because they're already doing his will. But when you come on the scene saying, I'm a Christian, Christians, we're the Christians, la, 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 the devil goes, ch-ch-ch. Everybody, charge! And you're walking through snakes and scorpions every single day. And they're trying to sting and they're trying to bite. And sometimes we get bit. Sometimes we get stung. But we serve Dr. Jesus, hallelujah. And Jesus said this, just so you know, by the way, if you get stung or bit, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Is that in red? Then that means Jesus said it. And Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. What are you scared of? So many Christians ignore deliverance because they're scared of the devil. If we just don't talk about it, that's like closing your eyes and saying, you can't see me, you can't see me. That's exactly what a lot of Christians are doing. The devil can't touch me. And they're trying to ignore the devil. And I just don't want to ignore that he even exists. I don't want to ignore. If I just turn him. No, the devil exists. And we're to confront him and resist him and trample on him and make a public display that Jesus Christ has given us victory over all the things that can bite us and sting us, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And Jesus goes like this. He says, oh, and by the way, don't get all happy about that. Great. That's just a given. If you follow me, that's a given. The devil has to submit if you follow me. But rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because devils wouldn't submit to you if you weren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life and realize that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Adam can't overcome the devil, but Jesus can. And I used to be an Adam in that Adamic nature, but I was born again, hallelujah. And I shedded that old snake nature in that tank. And when I came up out of the water, I was in a brand new nature by which I have authority over every devil in Jesus' name. And that's why the Bible says in the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, we see it on walls all the time. But you know what? Most people put half of it or a quarter of it on there. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then they put a colon there. Sometimes a colon can be stinky. So you have to pause. Okay. You'll get that at 2:00 in the morning. Some of you are like, what? Colon can be stinky. And I think it stinks when people stop at the colon, because it didn't stop there. It said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and you shall drive out demons in my name. The first thing is drive out demons in my name. You shall pick up snakes and they won't hurt you. Drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt you. And you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, if you're on TBN. And the Bible says in verse 21, and they went and preached everywhere, and God accompanied his word with signs and wonders following. Who are you? You're a son and a daughter of God. And you can say exactly what Jesus said, how God anointed Tim Stewen from Rapid City with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I'm going around healing and doing good all those oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God is with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, bring recovery of sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted, and release the captives, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's a closed book, by the way. It's a done deal. It is finished. Hallelujah. It's finished. Hallelujah. Freely you have received, freely give. Thank you, Jesus. If you're dealing with demonic oppression tonight, I want you to be delivered. Jesus wants you to be delivered. God wants you to be delivered. And I want to pray with you tonight for you to be set free in Jesus' name. And this isn't going to be a long, drawn-out deal. It's just going to be, we're going to confront the devil and set some people free in this house tonight. Because I guarantee you, the children's bread is not being eaten too often. Oh, churches will believe in speaking in tongues. Churches will believe in praying for the sick. But man, when it comes to driving out demons, you don't ever hear that much. And yet that's the first thing mentioned in the Great Commission, is go and drive out demons. And Jesus said, oh yeah, by the way, if you want to find out if the kingdom of God showed up in your midst, that's when demons start coming out, because I'm driving them out by my finger. And I like that. It's not his foot. It's not his hand. It's not his word. It's his finger. He just flicks. Bam, out of here, devil. Oh yeah, the kingdom of God's come upon you. That's the sign to us that the kingdom of God has showed up. The devil manifests in our lives in several different ways. He loves to clutter our mind. His greatest weapon is fear. Fear is so selfish because it's always about me. Everything's about me. And then there's all kinds of things that accompany all of these things. Worry, doubt, self-pity, insecurity, inferiority. I mean, the list goes on and on. Fear of failure, fear of death, fear of the future, fear of the unknown. Sickness, disease. It just goes on and on and on and on. Insecurity, inferiority. It's all worry, doubt. Apostle Paul said it like this to Timothy, for you have not been given a spirit of fear, is a spirit, not an emotion, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm here to declare that there shall be deliverance in Zion. So I want to ask you tonight, if you've been struggling with things that you can't seem to conquer, you've tried everything you know to do, we want to pray with you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a few people right now that you're getting delivered right now, even as we sit here. You're feeling this shaking begin to go on in you, and you don't know what to do. Let me just say, just submit to the Lord. Just submit to the Lord. Say, I'm all yours, God. Have your way. Purge me. Cleanse me. Let his precious Holy Spirit. See, what he's doing is he's reaching down with his finger and he's driving that stuff out. If I drive out devils by the finger, and I've seen it where people just supernaturally get delivered. They don't have to have hands laid on them. And I feel that right now that God's starting to do that with a couple of you. Just sit in your chair and enjoy the ride. Let Jesus do what he does best. And let me just say, be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Leave your dignity at the door. If you're worried about somebody sitting next to you, what are they going to think? No, be proud. Be proud. Say, I'm getting this out of me so I can testify and say, look what the Lord has done. Right now, if you would, everybody just close your eyes and get by yourself here. Stay where you're at, but just be by yourself if you know what I'm saying. This is between you and God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You might let out a scream. You might start shaking. You might fall around, roll on the floor. But it's all good because you're in Jesus' hands. And let me just say, just let the Lord do what he wants to do here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just say this together. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Father, because of the payment of Jesus Christ, if I'm captive in any way, I'm to be set free. And I ask to be freed in Jesus' name. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and no other spirit. Any other spirit that has been tormenting me, I command you right now, in the name of Jesus, go. You have no authority here. Thank you, Jesus. Be free, be free, be free right now, in the name of Jesus. Be free right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Fear, we command you to leave right now. We're not asking you, we're telling you. And we say the blood of Jesus is against you. And we command you to leave in Jesus' name. We command you to leave in Jesus' name. Inferiority and insecurity, we command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Doubt, worry, anxiety, fret, we command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Rage, we command you to leave right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. If any of those things start to identify with you, just say, I receive that. I receive that, and I agree with that, and I want to be free in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I just ask you to set the captives free here tonight. Set the captives free here in Jesus' name. We give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to narrow this down too much, but I just want to say, if you feel like you need deliverance here tonight on a focused scale, I just want you to come up here and stand right here, and we want to agree with you to be delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we praise the Lord. Can we just play Holy Spirit Rain Down, Miss Carol? Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. When I was talking, if there was anybody in here sitting here saying, you know what, I feel that way. I feel like I'm in a cage. I feel like I'm constantly in bondage. I feel like I'm locked up and there's nothing I can do to be free. I feel like I can't get these voices out of my head. I feel like I'm just constantly oppressed and depressed and never impressed, and I can't seem to get the victory. I don't care what it is. If that's the way you feel, get up here tonight, and we want to pray deliverance over you and let the glory of the Lord just bring freedom in Jesus' name. Rain down, oh comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down, let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Ooh, Holy Spirit, rain down. Ooh, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Stand on your word, oh, rain. You know, Jesus was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water. And then he stops the storm, which was a sign to the spiritual world that somebody's in town that has authority to do something more than what man can do. And you know what happens? The first person they meet when they get to the other side of the shore is the demoniac who says, "Are you here to torment me before my time?" How did the demoniac know that he was going to show up on the shore? Because he was out there cutting himself in the tombs, enjoying this dark storm. And the next thing you know, this storm stops. And that demon on the inside of him said, "Whoa, somebody's here that has power, more than natural power." And he threw himself at Jesus' feet. See, if the devil could own you, that guy could have never thrown himself at Jesus' feet. The devil, rather than saying devil, demon possession, we should say demon influence, because the devil can't possess you. He can't own you. You're not his possession. You're God's possession. But he can certainly influence you. And when Jesus showed up on the shore, that man threw himself at Jesus' feet. The devil didn't own that man enough to where he couldn't throw himself at Jesus' feet. However, he was tormented. He couldn't be locked up. He was in the tombs and he was cutting himself. And all kinds of, you know, if you're cutting yourself, you're getting all kinds of evil thoughts, and you're thinking all kinds of stuff about you that's not true. And that's what the devil loves to do. He loves to say, "You're ugly. You're never going to make it. You're a poor individual. You're bad, and you're sorry, and you're sad. Who could ever like you? Why were you even created? Man, you should look like that supermodel instead of the way you do. You're one of the worst people that walks the earth. Do you realize how selfish?" And he just beats you over the head constantly with this torment until you give into it. And you need to realize I'm not under his influence anymore. I'm under a daddy who dotes on me, a daddy who says he's accepted me into the beloved, who says I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm going somewhere, that before I was even born, I was created in my mother's womb with plans, that God has plans to prosper me and send me out, that I'm a divine individual, that I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the stuff that you need to start letting the Holy Spirit say to you, because God has accepted you while the devil has rejected you. And I'll tell you what, you know, the guy, the story ends with the guy sitting there in his right mind, completely free, and he wants to go with Jesus so bad. And you know what Jesus says to him? I'd love to have you on my ministry team, partner, but you got some work to do. Go back to your hometown and tell everybody what God's done for you today. And I guarantee you, he went home and told everybody, I was in captivity by the devil, but I'm free in Jesus' name. And that man lived free. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No, it's not a half deliverance. It's a full deliverance. Listen to me. Today is the day of your salvation. You're going to walk out of here tonight free. And I'm not saying the devil's not going to come back and say, oh, that wasn't real. You'll be back to your normal self in a few days. You just resist him in the name of Jesus and say, no, the Son set me free, and I am free indeed, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hands right here on your chest. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's agree tonight. Let's agree. Let's embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, right now, I command every tormenting devil to loose you and let you go in the name of Jesus. I'm not speaking to you. I'm